So good once again to have an opportunity to assemble with the children of God and to be able to worship together, to blend our voices in these grand songs. Appreciate so much, James, and your ability and willingness to lead us in them. Please open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Jude. We've completed, at least I think, most of what I wanted to say in the series about the Holy Spirit, but there is a lot of series in the Bible, as you know. In Jude, the writer is addressing some very similar problems to what you read in 2 Peter. In fact, we might refer to 2 Peter and Jude as parallel in many ways. But our text is going to begin in verse 5 of the book of Jude. So open your Bibles there. We're going to be reading down through verse 16. So it's quite a goodly portion of this book. In verse 5, he said, "Now I desire to put you in remembrance, though ye know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And angels that kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, he hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication, and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these also, in their dreamings, defile the flesh, and set it not dominion, and rail at dignities. But Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing judgment, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these rail at whatsoever things they know not, and what they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason. In these things are they destroyed. Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are they who are hidden rocks in your love feast when they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. And to these also Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly for all their works of ungodliness which they have ungodly wrought, and on all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect to persons for the sake of advantage. Now, that's a rather lengthy reading, but a long time ago a fellow told me, he said, Mick never apologized for the reading of the text, for you read that, you know that part's right. I'm content that that's true. But with the reading of this text, I want you to note that there are certain people that are being described. In the context, the writer is describing those who are teaching wrong things, and their arrogance is most flagrant. You'll see that also in the writing of the second chapter in particular by the Apostle Peter, of 2 Peter, the second epistle, the second chapter, as he is describing somewhat the very same thing. But what I want to call your attention to is seen in verse 11, where the woe of God is pronounced upon them, woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, brethren and friends, one of the things that I hope that our minds, at least by this point, are trained to do, is when we read an allusion in the Old Testament to immediately reflect upon where that is and what's said about it in the Old Testament. A good illustration of that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Israel in the wilderness is described. and the various things that they participated in, that the writer says these things happened to you by way of example. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages are come. Well, that would cause us then to want to go back to the Old Testament text and read about that. See what they did. What we're warned against. Don't do this. Well, as we read here concerning these false teachers who went in the way of Cain and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. It causes my mind to want to go back and study about those things and see what the Old Testament has to say about these incidences as they are referred to by Jude. Don't do what they did. Well, what did they do? Now that calls us to turn back to Genesis chapter 4. And so in Genesis chapter 4, you read, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man with the help of Jehovah. And again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Jehovah said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire, but do thou rule over it. And Cain told Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Jehovah said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now cursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not yield, henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto Jehovah, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And it came to pass that whosoever... Or it will come to pass that whosoever findeth me will slay me. And Jehovah saith unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Jehovah appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should smite him. Now that's what's alluded to by Jude. And having read both of these, we want to see what the application really is. We note that Jude, as he is writing, he describes these folks as filthy dreamers, men who are defiled with the flesh, who corrupt themselves like brute beasts, who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, despise divine authority. He describes them as spots in their love feast, trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Pretty serious description, is it not? We don't want to be like Cain. The way of Cain is described in Genesis chapter 4. Now, the thing that I want to impress you with, first of all, in our study, is that Cain wanted to worship God. Do you believe that's so? Just in the reading of the text. Cain desired to worship God. But he wanted to do it his way. Years ago, it used to be Burger King's slogan that you get a hamburger and you can have it your own way. Those of us who are older, we can relate to that. Some of you who are younger may not remember those commercials. But that was the kicker at Burger King. You get to have it your way. You can have the burger just like you want it. Well, unfortunately, our worship of God is not that way. We can't expect God just to accept anything that we might believe to be acceptable. Instead of offering a blood sacrifice, the text tells us in Genesis 4 that he offered the fruit of the ground. When God would not accept his offering, his response, rather than to repent, was to become angry, which is not uncommon. We also note that when God gave him a choice. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain was not without choice. He had made some wrong choices, but he can correct those. We too are in that position. When we commit sin, we have the opportunity to correct those things. But instead of repenting, he added more to it. When he told Abel, he then eventually killed Abel. And when God asked him about Abel, Cain lied. Very simple question. Where is your brother? I don't know. Well, that was a lie. That wasn't true. He knew what happened to him. He knew he'd killed him. And God said, now you are cursed from the earth. Now, there's other places that we could read to learn a little bit more about Cain. But I want to suggest from these passages some things that I want us to give some consideration to. Cain started out, he wanted to worship God, but he wanted to do it his way. He wanted to substitute for what God said and bring the fruit of the ground rather than a blood offering that God had commanded. Somebody said, well, how do we know God commanded a blood offering? That brings us to the New Testament text that those of you in our authority class well know. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we learn that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we also know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The conclusion, therefore, is simple. Abel offered his sacrifice according to the commandment of God, and Cain did not. Now, that's the difference. When I study with people from the early chapters of the book of Genesis, I want folks to see that. And I typically ask the question, what was the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering? Sometimes in studies such as that, there's a long pause between the asking and the answering of that question because a lot of folks really haven't thought about that. The crucial point is that Cain wanted to substitute something other than what God said, expecting it to be just as good. And it was not just as good. And that's not uncommon. For often we, like Cain, we want to walk by our own opinion. I've got an idea that I think God should accept this. And the wisdom writer said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Jeremiah said that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And the Lord said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, Isaiah made it very clear that the ways of God are higher than yours, and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Let me ask you, my friend, when God had commanded a blood sacrifice, was the fruit of the ground just as good? No, it wasn't. Now, it's just that simple. We sometimes look at this passage and we say, well, you know, Cain was a farmer. Perhaps he brought the biggest tomatoes and the biggest watermelons and the biggest cucumbers and the very best that the ground could produce. So in that respect, he brought the best that he had. My friend, the best that he had was not what God said. Abel offered his by faith, which indicates that God had addressed it. You see, man cannot do anything by faith that God has not addressed. God had given instruction to both Cain and Abel as to what kind of sacrifice to offer, and to suggest that Cain could not do that is to imply that God gave a commandment that man could not fulfill. No, he had every opportunity that his brother did. He disobeyed God. He wanted to substitute something else. Let's notice also that Cain started out wanting to worship God, but his way became a way of hatred and envy. When you look back at Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but Cain, unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He became angry because his brother's sacrifice was accepted and his was not. Well, why not just repent? He didn't do that. Now, I want us to note here that sin is always progressive. We are never stagnant. We're either getting closer to God or we're drawing further away from Him. That's just the nature of sin. As we read and are going to study in our Tuesday evening class, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, In verse 13, the text tells us, but evil men and imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see the progressive nature of sin. If you don't back up and repent, you just dive in deeper and deeper, and that's what Cain did. That's the way of Cain, as we see in this text. And knowing that his brother's offering was accepted and his was not, he not only became angry, but he envied his brother. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 tells us, verse 11. It says, for this is the message which ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Couldn't stand that. Abel's was acceptable and his was not. Let me ask you, my friend, is that kind of jealousy acceptable? Well, no. As you'll read in your Bible, as we have studied in other series, in the Galatian letter, chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's never been acceptable from the very beginning, and here we read about it in Genesis chapter 4. Well, there's another thing that I want us to consider. Cain, who started out desiring to worship God, his way became the way of intoleration and persecution. That's the nature of envy. It doesn't just stop there. It proceeds, as we mentioned, further and further. And one of the things that I have noted, perhaps you have too, in the world in which we live, is that those who cry for toleration, and this is true even in the Lord's church, those who cry for more and more toleration become some of the most intolerant people you can ever be around. And you know what you have to do, or you will do, that will make them appear so very intolerant? Just disagree with them. Just disagree. And you're worse than the devil himself. I want to suggest to you, as we continue our study, that that's what caused the Lord to be crucified. You'll note in Mark's account, in the 15th chapter, in verse 10, Pilate perceived that for envy the chief priest had delivered him up. Why was Jesus crucified? The very attitude that promoted Cain to kill his brother Abel. As you read further, the Apostle Paul was rebuking those Galatians because somebody had added to what he had taught, including the practice of circumcision. And Paul is rebuking these people, and in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, though they had been so very close with Paul, he said, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It's interesting to note, isn't it, that those who cry out for toleration are very tolerant as long as you're agreeable. But when they're confronted, they become some of the most intolerant folks around. And so it was with Paul's preaching. Now why? Why is that so? Why was it so in Cain's case? Well, let's go back to John chapter 3 and read just a little bit in Jesus' words to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, the writer says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God. And my friends, all of us have had this experience. Somebody commits sin. No question whether or not about what they've done is sin. What they've committed is sinful. You have an obligation to go talk to that brother. And when you do, what is the most common reaction? The most common reaction is the way of Cain. To get angry. Now why? Well, we don't like to be told that we're wrong. Do we? We don't like it when anybody rebukes us. And so Cain became angry. Jesus explained to Nicodemus why that's so. Because their works are evil. They won't come to the light. Don't want to be exposed. So the way of toleration becomes the way of intoleration and persecution when you rebuke the thing that is wrong. The way of Cain, man who started out desiring to worship God, became a way of willful contempt for divine authority. Now that's interesting to me because I want you to note that when God asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" he just plain old lied. "I don't know. I don't know where he is." And then he raised the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" as if he didn't have a responsibility to his brother. Well, let me ask you, brethren, do we have a responsibility to our brethren? Absolutely so. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the writer says, "Brethren, if any be overcome in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You have a responsibility to those who are fallen to do everything in your power to restore them. But instead, we find that Cain killed his brother Abel. And what was the motivation behind that? His brother was accepted and he was not. The result then was murder. So it became a way of willful contempt for divine authority. God had given instructions what kind of sacrifice to offer. Abel did, Cain did not. It led Cain to kill his brother. Now, I want to call your attention to these few passages. They should be familiar to most of you. When we begin to read in the Scriptures, we know that there is one way that is acceptable. Just one. I sometimes read before folks, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where the way that is narrow and straight leads to eternal life. But there is a broad way that leads unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. Having read that passage to folks, I'll sometimes ask the question, how many ways did the Lord describe? And often I hear the answer, well, He described one. No, in the text He described two, but He only described one that's acceptable. How many ways are there? Well, there is the narrow and straight way that leads to eternal life, and then there is the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. The choice is yours. There are two ways. There's one that leads to eternal life. Any other way leads to destruction. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There's only one way unto the Father, and that is by Him. We often read about Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, who offered a strange fire unto the Lord. And of course, the obvious question is what made it strange? It was different from what God said. Nadab and Abihu were following the way of Cain. It was the way of substitution. Willful contempt for what God had said. Same thing with King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. Such a fascinating king to read after and know the things that he did. The many reforms, the idols that he tore down, and the many good things that he did. But when it came time to burn incense in the temple, he presumed that he could go into the temple and burn incense just as well as the priest. And the priest rebuked him and said, "You have no part in this." And he became a leper that day and died as a leper. Now you well know that the conduct of lepers during those days was to separate themselves from everybody else. He had to spend the rest of his time isolated. He couldn't serve in the capacity as king anymore because he was a leper. And he died of that condition. No doubt, alone and diseased. Jude also tells us that he despised dominion. Well, what does that mean? Well, in connection with our point, willful contempt for divine authority. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And here was the attitude exemplified in the way of Cain. Well, Cain, who started out wanting to worship God, continued his path until he developed a very bad condition. He was now in the way of divine condemnation because God told him that you're cursed on the face of the earth. Cain thought that it was a terrible thing, greater than he could bear. No, it wasn't greater than he could bear, but it was awful. But I want to call your attention, that was not the first choice. Look back, if you will, to verse 7. Cain is offered a sacrifice that's unacceptable. And in verse 7, God said, if thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire, but do thou rule over it. I want to say this to you, brethren. When we mess up, and a brother or sister in Christ comes to you and tries to point out the thing that you're doing that's wrong, and you need to repent of that, the normal reaction to get mad may be normal, but it's not good. Here we see that Cain became angry. And God said, you're at another crossroad. You've already offered a sacrifice that's unacceptable. You're at a crossroad. Choose carefully your path. Because sin couches at your door. Now the choice is, you can either open the door and let in sin, or you can rule over it. That's your choice. And what did Cain do? He killed his brother. Now when we read this, brethren, and we read it in the book of Jude, just a brief mention of Cain. Let your mind go back to Genesis chapter 4 and see what Cain did. God gave him opportunity to repent. He refused to repent. Killed his brother. And then consequently in verse 11 the writer says, and now cursed art thou from the ground which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield its strength unto thee. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth. This is not good. Now, my friend, we need to be assured that when we do wrong things, we're given a choice. We can correct those things in humility, confess them before God and ask for His forgiveness. He shed the blood of His Son to make that possible. But then we, in our stubbornness, to ever admit that we've done anything wrong, we become the subject of divine condemnation. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Hebrew writer said, beginning in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, imagine, if you would, the blessings and benefits that Cain had had. And now what he's done. Swinging the pendulum to the furthest extreme. You read of the condemnation of God in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, how that God's judgment is without respect of persons. Indeed, the Lord will execute judgment upon all. And taking our thoughts back to the book of Jude, in verses 14 and 15, there the text tells us, and unto these also Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness which they have ungodly wrought, and of all the hard things which the ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect to persons for the sake of advantage. God's judgment is sure. Just as God's judgment was swift upon Cain, it will be swift upon all who choose to disobey. Well, finally, I want to make this note that Cain wanted to worship God. He started out desiring to offer a sacrifice unto God. But the text tells us that his way then became the way of eternal regret. In verses 13 beginning, it says, and Cain said unto Jehovah, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it shall come to pass that whosoever findeth me will slay me. And Jehovah said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Jehovah appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should smite him. Cain's reaction was, I can't do this. But I want to suggest to you, brethren, we don't read in the rest of this chapter any hope held out for Cain, do we? This is what he's going to be. From now on, a fugitive and a wanderer. God gave him opportunity to repent, but rather than to repent, he became hardened. Notice the words again of Jude. Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. Cain's punishment was from now on, and so will ours be. When we read in Luke chapter 16 regarding the rich man and Lazarus, that rich man was in a place of torment. It wasn't going to get any better. There wasn't going to be any crossing over and coming into a place of paradise. There wasn't going to be any praying him out of this imaginary place called purgatory. That wasn't going to happen. His punishment was never going to cease. Do we see that? It was forever. In Matthew chapter 25, the great judgment scene there beginning in verse 32, the separation of the sheep and the goats. The passage tells us concerning those on the right hand, they were instructed, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But those on the left, they were told to depart into a place of everlasting fire. Everlasting punishment. In verse 47 of that good chapter, we note these shall go away into everlasting life, but these into everlasting punishment. No relief in sight. And that's what we see concerning Cain. We've talked about the book of Revelation at some length, finishing our study this morning. And we've noted the number of times, Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8, where the writer identifies a list of sins before the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, no hope described here. No hope described here. Now once again, I want to call your attention to how Cain started out. Cain started out with a desire to worship God. Notice, if you will, that he deviated only slightly. He brought a different offering than what God said. He substituted the fruit of the ground for the firstlings of Abel's flock would have been his source. He didn't do that. But he ended up a liar, a murderer, a fugitive, cursed by God, and forever banished from His presence. Now let me ask you, brethren, do you see yourself in this page somewhere? Don't follow the way of Cain. You see, the way of Cain is very easy to describe. His was a way of substitution. A way that was characterized by envy and hatred, intoleration and persecution, willful contempt for divine authority, ultimately the way of divine condemnation and eternal regret. You want to name your son Cain? That'd be like naming your daughter Jezebel. You see, these names stand out in Old Testament history, don't they? And they stand out for the wrong that was done. And when we look at the way of Cain, Jude's point is a simple one. Don't be like him. But you see, that takes us back, as we did, to Genesis chapter 4. You've listened patiently. Maybe the things that we've said have been beneficial or profitable to you, helpful in some way. In our next study, we're going to talk about the things that Balaam did. You might find that to be an interesting read. And we'll see that we don't want to be like him either. Maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight who would desire to obey the gospel, become a Christian. Everything's ready. You can do that. Maybe you understand who Jesus is. He's the Christ. It's your desire to turn from your sin and repentance, confessing your faith. Would you then be baptized into Christ tonight? Maybe you've done that and you need to correct some things. We're here to help you in any way that we can. Make that known while together we stand and while we sing.